Lord, I thank you because your mercies, they are everlasting. Lord, I thank you because of your people that you have gathered to instruct on your word. Thank you, Lord, because there is something important, something great, Lord, that you have planned for us. That's why you have brought us here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, please, let me quickly, without wasting any time, go on to what I want to preach today. And like I was saying earlier, in my opinion, this is probably the most important message I have ever preached in my life. And I don't say such things jokingly. I don't say them lightly. And I believe what I'm saying very, very, very strongly. I have never been as excited getting ready for a meeting as I was getting ready to teach today. I was not excited this morning. I went to preach somewhere else this morning. So there was no time for excitement. Okay? But I was excited a few days ago when I realized that this is what I will be teaching on today. Now, because of the depth of what I have to say and the time that we have on our hands, I will not go over what we have said previously. But I'll just say that this is kind of a connecting message between what we preached in the past when we talked about destined to reign and what we are beginning to preach now, which I call training to reign. Now, so I don't know whether to put it as training to reign number one or just put it on its own. But what I want to speak about is what I call, let me say, the entrance of the kingdom of God or the coming of the kingdom of God. There is an understanding that God granted me and I want to share with us. It's very, very important. You know, I just realized something that when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he said, thy kingdom come. You know, there was something I read about some time ago in one commentary analyzing that word. He said that when he said thy kingdom come, that it was supposed to be a dramatic coming of the kingdom. That is, it is not, I mean, I find it hard to understand that in the light of what the Bible says about the increase of his kingdom and of peace, that there shall be no end. That is, there God made it clear that the kingdom of God will continue to increase. Do you understand my point? That is, of the increase of his government, that's what he said. And that was referring to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when I heard that, I noted it, but I couldn't really explain it until I came to this understanding that I want to share with us, and it's very, very, very important. Now, listen to me. There is a song, I will sing it, they'll tell you the interpretation. It says, it's a Yoruba song, and most of us, I'm sure we have heard it before. Say, Baba ye, Jeki joba rede. Baba ye, Jeki joba re, Kashe rebere, Lori mi. Now, let me explain what it means. I just had to sing it for record purposes, all right? It says that, Father, let your kingdom come and let your authority begin upon me. Or then second line, say, let your authority begin in my life. Ashe is Yoruba word for authority, for a command. Do you understand my point? Now, I don't know who wrote the song. I don't know where it started from. But I realized that for me, that is the deepest song that somebody can sing in talking about the kingdom of God. Now, I'll explain the reason as we go on in our teaching today. But bear what I'm saying in mind very, very clearly. Now, first thing I want you to read, if you have your Bibles, is to open to, is from the book of Psalm 103. And I'll read from verse 19. Now, I want to read from the King James Version because it used the expression that I really like. And I believe it's very accurate. I've done my checks around. It said from Psalm 103, verse what? 19. It said, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. He said, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. He said, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My emphasis is in verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now get that clear. That is, anywhere the kingdom of God is, it will always take dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. If I might just use my own translation, the New American Standard. He said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. I didn't like the word sovereignty. And I checked and I found out that in my understanding, that word kingdom is most appropriate. Now, I believe that the translators here use the word sovereignty because it didn't sound very, very fitting to use the word kingdom. But if you understand the principles I'm going to share this evening, you'll realize that the correct word is kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The correct word is kingdom. Now, there is something that happened once, and Jesus made a statement. And I want to refer to it, and I'll read it to us in a moment. Jesus was casting out demons, Luke chapter 11. And the people began to accuse him of casting out demons by the prince of demons, by Baal-zebul. And he said, if I by Baal-zebul cast out demons, verse 19, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. He said, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Please notice that. That is, the kingdom of God is right now in your midst. Now, if you look around, it will not be as if, I mean, let me read New Living Translation to make a point. He said, if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Please notice that very clearly. That is, it is possible for people to be out of the kingdom of God, yet the kingdom of God is somewhere around them. There was something that John the Baptist used to say when he would be preaching. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I want you to notice this very clearly. Because I have found out. Now, maybe should I read this scripture now or leave it till later? But let me make this statement. That God's plan, you know, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the world. Then the end shall come. Are you getting me? Now, one thing I want to understand is that God, the way I understand the scriptures. The plan of God is not that you will tell the world, really, get me, about the kingdom of God. Listen, the world, by God's plan, is to see the manifestation of God's kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, okay, I think it would be a good time to read the verse of scripture that I said we should read. We read it before. Isaiah chapter 2. It said, now it will come to pass that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. He said, for the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said, he will judge between the nations and render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Let me just read from verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people. The conversation turns to the Lord right now. The house of Jacob. Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Notice that. The reason why God abandoned the house of Jacob was because they were filled with influences from the east. And they have become soothsayers like the Philistines. and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Let me summarize it, that the kingdom of God was not established in their lives. That was their problem. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, I'm bringing up a thought to us, that God's plan is that his church will manifest the power of God, and the earth will see it and say, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was preaching for Ken Carter this morning, and a lot of young people there. I said, listen, as Christians, the tendency is that you want to tell your friends, don't cheat in an exam. I said, that is correct. You tell them about righteousness. I said, but you know what the plan of God is? The plan of God is that you will not cheat in an exam, and they will know you are not cheating an exam. But more importantly, you will always beat them after they are finished cheating. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, you will be in university, and people are bribing lecturers, and people are doing things that are iniquitous to pass exams. You will not do any of those things. You will pass, they will fail. That is, one day they will come to agree that this young man, this young woman does not do what we do, but he or she prospers more than we prosper. That is the power of God. You know God's plan? The message, this is where I say it, is actually for his church. He says, say to Zion, here is your God. Not say to the world. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what the world sees is a manifestation of the power of God in the church. And then they will come and say, come and teach us. Do you follow me? That is, they will see the manifestation of God in your life, and they will come and say, come and teach us. You know, by the time somebody comes and say, you don't do like we are doing, you always succeed and we are failing, then you will explain to the person, there is a law of the spirit that causes me to stay above alone and not beneath. That there's one principle I want to get clear to you. That's why we read from Psalm 103 just now. It said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. That's why I took us to Luke chapter 11 just now, so that we will see exactly what Jesus was saying. That anytime you see, you know, I don't know what I was it here I shared it with us last time? I guess so. When I was explaining about the coming of the kingdom of God, that Jesus was preaching and said, blessed are you that are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And he said, when the kingdom of God comes, those that rejoice now will begin to mourn. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying? That is, you will find out from when Jesus was speaking here, that anybody in the kingdom of God, listen to this, will always be on top and not beneath. Now, let me explain that clearly. That the kingdom of God will be inside somebody before it becomes around. Let me say that again. I don't think I got my expression out very clearly. That this is God's plan. He said, if I, by the finger of God, is casting out demons amongst you, then it should be clear to anybody with understanding that the kingdom of God is in your midst. What am I saying? That I am the embodiment of God's kingdom. That was why I sang that song, that let your kingdom come. That's what that song says. It said, but let it start in my life. What am I saying? That God's kingdom will not suddenly appear in the heavens, but it will suddenly appear in the life of somebody. Do you follow me? And the advance of the kingdom of God around is determined by the appearance of many such peoples that the kingdom of God is appearing inside them. Now, but what I want to emphasize to us today is the automatic dominance of the kingdom of God. He said, where were we? Psalm 103. Let me go back there. Psalm 103. He said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This is what I'm coming to. Anytime that God's kingdom is present, it will always be on top. Let me come over that again. When Jesus was there as the embodiment of the kingdom of God, demons naturally had to bow to him. Do you understand me? That it was not by prayer per se. It was not a matter of wish or desire or confession. If I take a ball, take it to the bottom of the ocean, full of air, of course, it's a leather ball, and I use all the energy within me to drive it to the bottom of the ocean. Then when I get there, I release it. Do you know what will happen? It starts shooting back for the top. Why? It was not meant to be beneath. No matter how hard you try, once you release it, it goes back to the top. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, God says, my kingdom is like that. If it is present, it can never be beneath. Now, but don't forget this. I am describing the kingdom of God as what? A person. That is, if God's kingdom is present inside somebody. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we have discussed in the previous teachings on destined to reign, that when somebody who has the Spirit of God in him, who is subjected to the authority of Jesus Christ, is in authority, then whatever his authority extends to, that is the extent of the kingdom of God. And that is true. But what I want to emphasize here today is that person. That once the person, once you as an individual, the kingdom of God has become manifested in your life, without trying, you will always be on top. Believe me. You know, I realized what Paul was saying. He said, labor to enter into rest, because anybody that has entered into rest has ceased from his own works. That is, men struggle to achieve prominent positions. They struggle to be on top. They struggle to succeed in all that they do. But God said, why are you worrying about those things? Seek first, what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I suddenly realized that Jesus was not saying, try to advance the kingdom. Just seek to enter, that is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That a man can be on earth and personally have stepped into God's kingdom. And what was Jesus saying there? That was from John, when this man came to see him. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. He said, we know that you are a teacher that came from God, because nobody can do all these works that you do except God be with him. And you know, instantly, Jesus answered him. In verse 3, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, he was talking about the same thing, just expounding further. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What was he saying? Remember that Jesus just, the man just asked Jesus a simple question. We know that, you know, he made a statement. Let me use, that's a better expression. We know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And instantly, Jesus replied, the reason why you see this work is because I dwell in the kingdom. That is, the kingdom of God is inside me. Are you getting me? And if you want to experience the kind of works that I experience, then all you need to do is to enter into that kingdom. And the way by which you enter is by being born again. Are you following me? That is, the works of God are automatic if a man is in the kingdom. Oh, no wonder Paul said, labor to enter into that rest. Because once you have entered, you have ceased from your own works. And Jesus said that, you see, these works, I don't do them. He says, the Father that doeth the work. He said, as I hear, so I speak. The Father doeth his work. Do you understand my point? That is, there was no strain on his part to achieve anything in life. And it is the same principle he's talking about. You know, we have, you know, one of the things God has given me as a message is to explain to believers that it is not necessary to struggle. There is what is called grace that triumphs over, how do I say it? He said, the law came by Moses. But grace and truth were realized by Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Like I said last time, grace is what God does for you while you obey simple instructions. I have a new definition for it. Grace is the manifestation around your life once you live in the kingdom of God. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, it's not as if the man is struggling. No. There are things that are written concerning his life. No, Jesus told them, follow me and I will make you. That is, any man following Jesus Christ is automatically being made. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, it is not the man is trying to be made.
He's being made.
No, get me. I told that, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably the most important message I've ever preached. Because we have said many things about what Christians should do, what God has as a plan for the life of believers. You are to be on top alone and not beneath. The influence of God will spread by your influence. The kingdom of God will spread by your hands. We have said all of that. A lot of times, if you stop there, people say, now I am a righteous man. They want to strive to acquire kingdom. God said, no. Seek for the kingdom of God to be birthed in your life. Don't worry, every other thing will come out automatically. He said, the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but upon this earth, his kingdom rules over everything around it once it is manifest. And my emphasis is that manifestation is not that Enugu has become the kingdom of God. No, it is that Brown has become the kingdom of God. And when he enters Enugu, Enugu will subject itself to him automatically. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what a man needs. What a woman needs is not to try to overcome Enugu. No, it's to have the kingdom of God inside him. Now, let's go back to something I was saying. We were reading earlier. That's Isaiah chapter 2. Notice this. Before I read it, a lot of times you hear that many people, there are so many Christians, why is the world not better? And you know the truth? God is not talking about the number of people that go to church or call themselves Christians, but the number of people that actually have their lives totally entrenched in God's kingdom. That is, when you look at them, you say, the kingdom of God is in this place. They say, who's your boss? This man is. The kingdom of God is there. Who is the new gate man they hired? This man. Then the kingdom of God has come to this company. Listen. I realize that what happens is that a lot of believers don't even live in that kingdom. They are not working as I don't want to use the word citizen, no, of the kingdom. I want to use the word that they are not working as the kingdom of God on the earth. Why? Let's go back to where we were. I read something earlier. I want to emphasize it. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. It said, come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Then he turned the conversation to the Lord. He said, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Now listen to this. Remember what we read earlier? He said that it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above all the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. He was now saying, because of this, we have to walk in the light of the Lord. And the reason why we have not seen manifestation is this. Verse 6. He said, for you, the Lord, have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why did you abandon them? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. God is saying that the reason why the church, now, please, let's forget church as a body now. Let's look at them as individuals, all right? Where they are not in the proper places, where they are not ruling as they are supposed to, is that it is not the individual that plan they are going to rule. It is the kingdom in them that will rule. So when the men themselves are not subject, that is, their whole body, their whole being has not become the kingdom of God, you won't see them taking the place they are supposed to take. He said this is the reason. They are filled with influences from the east. You talk to an average believer, you know, he sounds exactly like the world. They share the same opinion. They analyze politics in the same fashion. Now, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is, his heart is not filled with the authority of God, but is filled with the influences from the east. Now, let me say this again. Life is controlled by spiritual forces, not by our trials. Are you getting me? That is, what will become, will come upon you in life is not a product of your desires. 15 steps to breakthrough. 1, have an intense desire. Most of the men who fail desire breakthrough. A lot of the people who succeeded were not pursuing that thing with the kind of thing you call zeal. I was talking to a man a senior man, a professor, a few days ago, and he had been appointed to head one federal board. So I said, sir, is congratulation appropriate? He said, I don't know too. I said, I don't want to say congrats, you know, because, you know, it came out of me spontaneously. Because I am not an average Nigerian that I think is the opportunity to go and chop money. All right? So I said, sir, is congratulation appropriate? He said, I don't know really. But at this age, I want to take things easy. But he made a statement. He said, really, I don't plan things. He said, destiny comes upon me. He said, when opportunity comes, I serve. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't become board chairman because he desired it. That's why Solomon said, I have discovered the race is not to the swift. Now, let me put my own words. Manifestations are not to the most passionate. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, but time and chance happens to men when you look at it under the sun. That is, a man steps into a place planning to go and buy Guguru. And at the end of the day, he's the king. That was what happened to Saul. Am I wrong? They said, some animals are missing. Let's go and ask that man. And next day, he was the king. Without desire. Listen to me. Let's not put the cart before the horse. David never desired to be king in Israel. Never. Look, sometimes we put too much emphasis where it's not supposed to be. You have passion for it. If you pursue it with passion, it's good. But if you pursue what? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. That is the only thing that needs your passion. That is all. All other things shall be added. Do you understand my point? I drive by your house in the morning while you are not planning to do it, or you're not planning to even cook. Then I dump a truckload of rice in your house. It is not because of your desire for food. I added it to you. Do you get the point I'm making? All other things shall be added. What will come upon you in life is not a product of your desires. It's God that dwells in the heavens, whose kingdom rules over all, who will add many things to your life. He said, but there's a condition. Seek the kingdom of God. Suddenly I realized, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, but when that kingdom comes, it always rules over all. That if a Christian, if a child of God is not seeing the progress of enthronement, let me use that word, in his life, then he's filled with influences from the east. Paul said, labor to deliver yourself from influences from the east. That is, once every morning, check yourself. How am I talking like an unbeliever? You know, I say things jokingly a lot of times. But when we finish with the joke, I tell people that what I am saying is the truth. For example, this is my favorite example. I said, I want to have many children. People say, no, one is good. Why? Because country is difficult. Children are expensive to maintain. And they finish talking. I said, let's not come out with the reasons, the pros and the cons right now. I have only one word. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And it is a blessing to have a quiver full. Said, what if your quiver is small? How do you know? Are you getting my point? How many fertile women have you counted their eggs? Let me use common word. And they are less than 50,000. Quiver is small. You don't have ovarian dysgenesis. Genesis. Who told you your quiver is small? Women that have 10 children also have only one womb. They don't have two. Who told you your quiver is small? Are you getting? Now, I'm not teaching having many children right now. I'm just going to bring out the principle that if you open your mouth and speak like the world, you have walked out of the kingdom. That's what I'm saying. That is, the problem with the church is that they are filled with influences from the east. They have not taken time out. They are struggling for promotion like the people of the world. They have not taken time out to ensure that their lives are filled with the influences of the kingdom. You know, I shared with us some time ago that what God says is simple. If you fill your heart with the word, it will always produce results. I just said, this is exactly what he's saying. Because when we are talking about kingdom, we are saying that, you know, this is the meaning of the word. God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now,
A lot of us think it was because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. No, no, not at all. That statement was made when he was 30 years old. Should I tell you what happened? Over the years, God had tested him and proved him and shown that this guy, the Bible says, and God said, to whom will I look? But the one that is of a contrite spirit and a humble heart, who trembles at my word. That is, no matter what he desires, if I speak otherwise, he forgets it. No matter what he doesn't like, when I say, go here, suddenly his desire rises in that direction. He said, I rejoice at thy word as him that finds great spoil. That is the way a man will make $1 billion and begin to rejoice. When God's word comes to me, that's the same way in which I rejoice. That was what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that one day, God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you get me? That is, his life has been signed. God has put a seal upon that. Here is my kingdom. From then, anywhere he goes, demons have to cry out. Do you get my point? The sea had to become calm when he raised his voice, because his kingdom indeed rules over all. The problem with men is that they are filled with influences from the east. And the Bible said they are soothsayers like the Philistines. What are soothsayers? People who predict the future. So the man sits you down and says, listen, let me tell you the truth. The way the country is going, no hope for your children. He has become a soothsayer like the Philistines. When God said, my word to you is that, I swear, you will never bear children for calamity. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, no matter what people say, no matter what the surrounding circumstances say, this guy is subject to the word of God. Are you getting me? His life is the kingdom of God. That's the point I'm coming to. That is, the kingdom of God on the earth starts upon you. It starts in your life. And once it is there, it rules over all automatically. I believe we are people of understanding, so I don't have to read too many scriptures. I'll just refer to them. You know the story of Joseph. He never one day prayed for the throne. His imprisonment was too obvious. That praying for the throne was too far away from his heart. If he was supposed to pray, what will he pray about? Deliverance. Acquittal, like you guys will call it. For his name to be cleansed, that he's not an attempted rapist. And of course, we have scriptural evidence for that. After I interpreted the dream for the cupbearer of Pharaoh, he said, remember, girl, when you reach there, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hebrew. My father lives very far away. I did not sin. They sold me into slavery. You see that man? His wife lied against me. I was his most diligent servant. God said, oh boy, relax. You will see where the kingdom is going to take you to. Are you getting my point? But it's what I want to bring out. His life was, his life was summarized in a simple statement. How can I do this? He told Mrs. Potiphar, and sin against God. That is, the fear of God was his guiding principle in everything that he did. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was the kingdom of God. And the Bible said it rules over all. And indeed, it ruled over the whole land of Egypt. When we're speaking about the spirit of excellence, we said about grace for promotion. Remember that. Who was our example? Daniel. Daniel and his friends or his brothers, when they moved into Babylon, their first prayer point was, God, we will not defile ourselves by all the idols of this land. Do you get me? Let me just say this. Paul said that, I cannot tell you not to interact with the ungodly people. Let me summarize it. Because if I tell you that, I'm telling you to move out of the world. He said, when I was charging you, I was only telling you, don't interact with anyone that calls himself a brother, yet is a fornicator. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what am I saying here? As you live in life, you will enter Babylon every day. That's what I want to come to. When you join PDP, you have joined Babylon. When you take a job in the local government, you have joined Babylon. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you have to join PDP, some of you. You will go to a place where occultists have joined together to hold it in bondage. You must take the job. It is commanded that you must not be afraid of them. But before you step in, we have discussed it here before that every profession has his own problems. Any man you give arms to, give him arms to enforce the law, he tends to oppress the poor, oppress the innocent. So when they came to John the Baptist, what must we do? He said, stop taking things from people by force. Be content with your wages. Any child of God that joins the customs service of Nigeria, you know what I'm saying. The pressure of covetousness will be heavy. Men whose official salaries are 10,000 naira a month will be earning 500,000 naira a month because they posted them at a kind of border. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you are joining such Babylons, you have to take a decision before you step in. Maybe you are entering into customer service. Say, God, I swear, and I pray for your help, your grace, that I will not take money away from here that is 5 kobo beyond my salary, except I get it from outside in a job not connected to this thing. And you will add to it, God, I refuse tips and I refuse gratifications. Get my point? Some things that are legal elsewhere that God will not frown upon. Paul said, all things are lawful, but they are not all expedient. That is, sometimes they don't help you. And get my point, nothing is neutral in the realm of the spirit. So if it is not expedient, it's actually dangerous. Though in itself, it is not unlawful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain my point. If a young woman is looking for a job and he goes to a bank or somewhere, and the guy says, we'll discuss the interview another time. But meanwhile, I'm going out this evening. Why don't you come with me? Going to eat with a man is not unlawful, is it? But it's not expedient under such circumstances. What am I saying? There are times, look, what was the problem of Gehazi? He said, is it his time to receive? Get me. Naaman came. And after he was healed, dipping 7 times in the Jordan, he returned to Elisha and said, here are the gifts. If you read the scriptures well, you know that Elisha was living on such gifts. His regular income was gifts like the type that Naaman brought. But in the case of Naaman, it was not expedient. Here was a Gentile who has seen the power of God, who was used to paying his gods for everything they did for him. He used to buy favor with sacrifices from his God. He has come to the true God. You don't give him the same impression. That was why Paul said that some of you, I refuse to take anything from your hands. To lay an example for you, he said, I had the right for you to support me as a minister. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the case of Gehazi, he didn't understand. So when he returned to Elisha, Elisha said, is this the time to receive gifts? That is, the time is not right. What am I saying? A man stepping into such places will put up his hand and say, God, even gifts I don't want. He moves in. You know, when you start like that in the kingdom of God, that is when God will remove the controller general of customs for your sake. Not when you have eaten with the people of the East. The man is persecuting you and you are rebuking him and he refuses to be rebuked. You cast out the demon, only seven of them return after. And you are wondering why. Read your scriptures well. All those men who did great things in the Old Testament for God didn't know about the devil. No, really. Remember we're talking about unholy preoccupation. Anytime a man is persecuted at work, he said it's the devil. God said it is the influence from the East. You are partaking of it. You are not working in the kingdom. That's why you can't stay over or stay reigning over all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the reason I went out and defended Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was that before they stepped into Babylon. They said, here, we will not partake of any rubbish going on here. That is, they work in the kingdom all the time. So even while they were sleeping, God was defending them. I hope you are following the principle I'm talking about here. Hey, come on. Well, look, anytime you want to enter into Babylon, it's a principle. That is the way you will be lifted up when you get there. Someone was telling me this morning that he went somewhere, common entrance. They were doing common entrance. And even teachers were joining to help. For your information, when he said common entrance, I thought he said jump. Then he said common. I said, oh, that is the one that takes you from primary school into secondary school. He said somewhere in MNA here. And they were cheating. The teachers were teaching the children what to write. I said, this is how to walk in the kingdom. Anybody going into this setting will say, whatever happens, I will not engage in cheating in any form. And let me tell you the truth. There's a responsibility for believers. If you walk in the kingdom, to start praying, thy kingdom come. That is, you get what I'm saying? If you are in a place and everybody is cheating and you are not cheating, then every morning you say, God, let thy kingdom come. What it means is that let soon the manifestation appear of judgment, that you will exalt those who walk according to your principles and punish those who walk against it. God said, anybody walking against his word, he's ganging up against him. You know, I read it today. I was reading the story at Kadesh Barnea. When these 12 spies arrived, you know, God said that they have all ganged up against me. Do you know that statement frightened me? It's Numbers chapter 14. God says, see, all of these people that ganged up against me, none of them will see this land. None of them. When anyone is stepping into Babylon, the principle that will put him over in life that ganged up against me, none of them will see this land. None of them. When anyone is stepping into Babylon, the principle that will put him over in life is that the kingdom of God is in his own life. Do you get the point I'm making there? That was what brought Joseph to the throne. That was what brought Daniel also to the throne. It was not by trying. Are you getting me? It was not by trying. The issue was that the men in their lives, the kingdom of God was manifest. This was not the issue of when I go to Babylon, he wasn't fighting the king. A friend of mine told me once, it was inside a vehicle. And they got, this was before Roger, you know what they call Roger, amongst the police. Before he became this rampant, but he started long ago. So they were traveling, they got to a checkpoint. And one Mopole officer wanted to collect his Roger. You know, those they used to hide it. And one passenger in the car saw it and he came out. No, this is unrighteousness. That the driver will not give the guy a Roger. You understand what I'm saying? That he cannot stand here and let people do Jim Roger. I mean, actually, the policeman has no right to collect any money from the driver. So the policeman gave him a slap. He said, no, he's suffering for righteousness' sake. And the policeman kicked him and fight broke out there. And the driver, look, Oga, let me give this man my money and go away. The guy said, no, for righteousness' sake, he will not allow it to happen. After some time, the driver said, well, while you are fighting righteousness, he started his car, took the other passengers and left him there fighting the policeman over not collecting Roger. That is not your business. Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt also. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the problem is that in your own life, what is going on? Are you Rogering the man? That is your own problem. If everybody wants to Roger the man, it doesn't concern you. In fact, when you get there, the man says, no Roger, no go. Then you give the guy the Roger and continue going. That is called extortion. A man can't put a gun to your head and say, righteousness, no, I won't give him money. He's not here. That's nonsense. Give the guy the money and go away. He has just asked for your jacket. In fact, if he asks for 100 naira, add 50 naira on top. 100 naira is the jacket, 50 naira is the coat. Sorry, it's the shirt under it. But what God is looking at, that when you are the policeman at the checkpoint, what do you do? And believe me what I'm saying. God finds such people hard to come by. A lot of people, conscience will disturb them at night. Then during the day, the conscience will go to sleep. Then they continue. And at night, they will repent. No problem. God will forgive them small. But the kingdom here is not present. So the man cannot reign over all. We will now start saying, how come unbelievers are on top? The only thing that takes the believer to the top is the presence of the kingdom. Do you understand my point? Now let's go back to where we were earlier so that I will continue to read it. That's Isaiah chapter 2. God was saying, this is the reason why I have abandoned my people. Why they work in civil service and they hardly make it to be DG? Why I find it hard to appoint them as president? When I'm making group general manager of NNPC, I don't make them. Why? He said, I have abandoned my people because they are filled with influences from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. How do people strike bargains with children of foreigners? As a believer, you want to start a company. Let me tell you how they do in the world. You want to start a company that is great. You look for one retired general and put him as chairman of the board. The man doesn't come for the meeting. Are you getting me? The man does not participate in anything that's going on. But you just say his name. Just be there. And you pay him 5% of your earnings. Why? Because he's the principality that's helping you to succeed. And with riches are what? Wisdom. So you have to be wise. You have to be wise. No. The Bible said they have struck what? Yeah, they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. A man who you believe is a crook. You believe that most of the money he has, he does not deserve it. It is not his own. Yet you want to open a company. Your own friends will advise you. Influences from the east to go and strike a bargain with a foreigner. It's very simple. And now it happens every time. I was even watching. Now, it's a principle we use a lot in business. It's very, very common in business. I was watching Discovery the other day, and they were talking about General Lee. I think Lee, that was the general of the Confederate Army. That the man, after he finished, an insurance company said, "Oga, come and be our boss. And we'll pay you so amount of money." The man wrote them back and said, "I cannot take wages for what I am not doing. That is, I will be the boss and I will not work." The people wrote him back and said, "Oga, it is simple money. All we want to do is use your name as our Oga." And the man said, "I have lost everything in life. The only thing I have left is my name. I'm not about to sell it. Thank you very much." And I mean, his people lost the war. He was a nice Christian man. The guy said, "No, this is the only thing I have left, my name." Even his opponents respected him. They saluted him. The soldiers of the opposition respected his person. It's just that it's war. We have to fight. That this man is a good soldier. The guy said, "That is the only thing I have left. I am not about to sell it to anybody." This is what I'm coming to. That is a worldly principle of business. We want to do business. Let us strike a bargain with one allergy that used to be chairman of MPN or something. Because you believe that everywhere you go looking for business, they will respect his name. God said, "You see, I don't share my glory with anybody else." As soon as you strike that bargain with the children of foreigners, I step out of your business. You have to struggle like everybody else. Listen, the fact that the tactic you use worked is not good. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Remember Asa? Maybe we should read the story of Asa. It will be good. The fact that you use a tactic and it worked does not mean anything. Asa was a king that God helped. And there was after, you know, I think, that let's read from 2 Chronicles would be a good place to find this thing I'm saying. Chapter 16. In fact, there's something I will say. Let me just explain. When Asa took over as king, there was trouble in the land. There was no peace to him that went out or the one that came in. Are you getting me? Then what happened was that Asa now commanded everybody. And let me say, he now put a restructuring into the land. If you read verse 14, they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and with trumpets.
with horns. What was the oath? They made an oath to serve God and serve God alone. Are you getting me? If I might just back up a bit. A prophet came to Azariah, the son of Oded, in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And he said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you will forsake," he said, "if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The problem, now this is a situation where when Asa was there. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without the teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and they sought him and he let them find him. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out or to him that came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them with every kind of distress. Now the prophet told him, "But you will be strong. Do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work." Now, listen to this. When Asa did this, when he brought about the proper worship of God in the land, you will see verse 19. He said, "And there was no more war." Listen to this. Before, nation was warring against nation, city against city. Foreigners were invading them. They were fighting amongst themselves. But when they decided to serve God and serve God alone, the end of chapter 15, "And there was no more war." But this was until the 25th year of Asa's reign. Let me just explain the principle to you here. If you strike success with God, after a while, you'll be tested again to maintain the success. This is what I'm coming to. If you're a man of dedicated service, and God lifted you up because of your dedication to his work and to his person, the problem is that in your prosperity, that zeal for dedication, now get my point, becomes a bit unnecessary. Let me explain what I mean. Let us assume now that come rain or shine, I was coming to teach here, I walked through the rain wet. You understand? Let me assume to get here to teach because it rained heavily today. And God said, "This guy, you are so dedicated." And then he gave me a fleet of cars and drivers. You understand my point? Well-conditioned cars, cozy home and everything. You know that no matter what, if Noah's rain begins to fall, I'll still get here. And I won't be wet. I'll wear my crocodile skin shoes and come in. And it won't be spoiled. Why? It's called prosperity. You understand what I'm saying? It is money. Or that's the power of cash. But one day God will say, "All right, go and preach. The first car will break down. The second will catch fire. Thief will collect the third one. And the drivers won't come to work." And you see, I am too big to walk through the rain. It is the beginning of failure. Are you getting my point? Recently, they were talking about some ministers. Now we're talking about when one minister is going here, this is the preparation that goes ahead of him. Let me just give an illustration. That maybe they will ship a car from Lagos or maybe from wherever, or tell the people here to go and look for a home, and that's the only thing or guy they enter. I said, they are forgetting one principle. That Paul said, "I learned to abound, and I also learned to what? Abase." That is, if I enter a home today, tomorrow, if you have an ijakpa for me, I will enter. You know what's ijakpa? B2. And if you don't even have ijakpa, give me your kada. I will sit on top of it. And if it's a direct trekking distance, I will use the shoes to walk. It doesn't matter. It is called learning to abound and learning to abase. You must never get to a place where you're only used to abounding. Do you understand my principle? Any success you strike with God will be tested again to be maintained. After Jesus finished the temptation, when Satan finished and left him, the Bible says he departed from him for a while. That is, "I will try you again." Even in medicine, they do it. It's called booster doses for immunizations. Docs, am I lying? I'm telling the truth. I know I'm senior to you in that job. I know. You give an immunization today, it lasts maybe 3 months. Second one, it lasts 3 years. Third one, it might last 30 years. But you keep giving what? Booster doses. That's why they repeat one immunization, one after the other. Do you get my point? Especially for those, now this is medicine, why am I teaching medicine now? Especially for those organisms that you don't come across regularly.
They don't give for everything because some, once you survive the first attack, you jam it every day, so you don't need to start doing this again. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining that that's the way it is in the spirit also. You will jam booster temptations to reinforce your faith because the trial of your faith works patience. And God just sent small booster dose of immunization to Asa, except that the man failed it woefully. That was why we were given that point, that this was until the 35th year of his reign. What happened in the 35th year of his reign? In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming into Asa, king of Judah. Asa now took gold, silver from the treasures of the house of God and from the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria or king of Aram, who lived in Damascus. He used it to entice the man to break his covenant. Now, you get what I'm saying? What has he done? He has entered a treaty with a foreigner. He has signed an agreement with a foreigner. But you know the interesting thing? It worked. That is the sad side. When God prevents your agreement from working, rejoice and be glad. When he allows it to work, more trouble. Because in this case, I don't want to waste time reading everything. In this case, the agreement was simple. Please, go and break off your treaty with the king of Israel. So, and attack the man. So, the guy did it, having been bribed by goods that came out from the temple. You cannot give what is God's to Caesar. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can only give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. The things in the temple of God, you don't give to any king. The man took from the treasuries of the temple and gave to this man. And it worked. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the guy did exactly as he was told. He went, broke up his treaty with the king of Israel. And that one had to pull back from attacking Judah. That was when Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have, verse 7, chapter 16, because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Are you getting the point? That God brought them for destruction, actually. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? That God did not... When God sends giants to you a lot of times, it's so that you might destroy it. It might look big, but boy, destroy this thing, it will never trouble you again. That's what God is saying. Overcome this challenge and it will leave you alone permanently. When he took them to the promised land, there were giants in the land. He said, I brought you as assassins to kill the giants. Why are you running away from your assignment? When God stirred up this man against them, what do you call it? When he stirred up Baasha, it was so that the man will join with the Syrians because they were in league to come and attack him. And God said, I will now use you as my battle axe to finish the Syrians. He said, but now you have made a bargain with the foreigners. Now they have escaped from your hand. He said, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He said, you have acted foolishly in this. This is where I'm coming to. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. It worked, but he sowed a seed for wars. Be careful when they teach you business principles to strike bargains with foreigners. It will work, but then you will continue striking bargains. And listen, it's only the blessing of God that makes rich without adding sorrow. Are you getting the principle I'm talking about here? That is, the problem with the people, God said, is that they are striking bargains with the children of foreigners. I told you before that one day I was discussing, my wife and I and some folks were discussing. They said, no, if you want to do a successful home video, you need to sign up maybe Genevieve or RMD or you know, one of them. That is that way. The people in there will like you, the marketers, and they will make your product sell. It's called striking a bargain with foreigners, filled with influences from the East. You are soothsaying like Philistines. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if God has anointed you, don't worry. Take up the challenge and go against the Goliath. They make their movies with millions of naira. Make your own with 10,000 naira for start and watch what God will do with it. Are you getting me? But if you do everything there according to the principles of the kingdom, listen, his kingdom, the Bible says, rules over all. It always comes out on top. Whatever is born of God, the Bible says, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome our faith. I was talking about the power of grace. Grace is not to struggle to succeed. That's not what God is talking about. Grace is simple. Follow me and I will make you. There's one scripture I found out recently. I was sharing with those guys I preached for in the morning. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Samuel went to Saul, he told him, were you not small in your own eyes when God made you? That thing struck me. He said he made you king in Israel. So you were small in your own eyes, yet God made you. And he anointed you and gave you an assignment. That's the way life goes. No matter what you look like in your own eyes, if you walk with God, walking according to the principles of the kingdom, he will make you. That's just the principle. Listen. The training for reigning is not to train how to become a big chief. You get what I'm saying? Not that, okay, brethren, you know, since God is going to lift you up, and you are going to be the chairman of 15 multinationals. This is how to coordinate your work. That's not what we want to discuss. Those things are automatic. They fit by themselves. Are you getting me? It's like water. Water does not need to know the channel in front of it before it gets there. Just pour it. It will find its way. You understand what I'm saying? It's human beings that try. As for water, you just say, oh boy, we are going to pour you on top of this building. And you find your way to the floor. Water doesn't say, give me a map ahead of time. Let me know how to avoid the rocks. No. Pour it. When it gets to a crack, it bends here. It follows like this. What am I saying? God will have set the events of life to take you to the proper place. It doesn't need your trying. Training to reign, what you are training to do, actually is to entrench the kingdom of God in your own personal life. When it's there, it reigns over all. It is automatic. I told you, I don't like too many principles of this, principles of that. I mean, it's like water that we are talking about. How to flow from, what's the origin of the Niger? Futajalon Mountains to Niger Delta in Nigeria. That is what we learn in principles. He says, so when you get here, take a curve like this, go up the northern coast, come this way, join with River Benue, your this thing will become wider, then pass between Onitsha and Asaba, and you're on your way to Niger Delta. When you get to Niger Delta, break up into distributaries, if I'm going to use that word, and enter the Atlantic, and oil shall be found near you. All of it na gist. Nile did not come from Futajalon. There is no River Benue feeding the Nile. And neither did he enter into the Atlantic. What am I saying? God pours the water, he finds his way to the ocean. The hills, all right, the valleys, they will tell you how to bend. Nobody told you that your own course is in West Africa. So nobody can teach you the principles ahead of time. It's not possible. When God fills your life with water and he wants to send you, so he will just pour you. You will do as occasion serves you. You understand what I'm saying? There will be days you will wake up in the morning and you don't feel like going, and it's the perfect will of God. I told you last time, compassion moved Jesus Christ. Desire to rest can move you also, not to leave your house. No, that's the way it works. The word of God always creates. It creates all kinds of things. There was a time it created stubbornness in the life of the child of Demos Shakarian. Things had been going upside down. When God finally settled everything for them, his wife's gold ring that they had been looking for, They had searched the house, cut everything in pieces, looking for it. They couldn't find it. And then one day, he was going out. And somebody was selling some lizard, chameleons. You know chameleon? And his son said, "I want a chameleon." And he said, "No, you can't have one." He said, "Normally this boy is very obedient." The boy told him, "Daddy, I want a chameleon." And he said, "No, you can't have one." The boy began to throw it around and he was wondering what is going on. And his own father happened to be near there, be with them. That is the boy's grandfather. So he turned to the father, like, "What's going on with the boy?" The father said, "Give it to him." "Ah!" He was surprised, my father supporting rebellion. But he looked at his father, he didn't know what to do. You know, I think his father now brought out the dollar and gave the guy saying the chameleon and bought the chameleon for the boy. He's like, "What?" So he was very angry, didn't say anything. And then when they got home, he just told them, "Look, this is just to pacify this boy. We are throwing the thing away right away. Let the thing walk away." Once they got home, as soon as they got home, their maid came out and said, "Oh, beautiful creature. Come on, come on, let's look for a box for it." She looked around. The only place she could find a box was in the trash basket. So she went there, shook a box to take it for the chameleon, and the ring dropped out. The diamond ring fell out. That is, the world became even stubbornness in the child, that they might find the ring that was missing. You cannot write a law on how to find missing rings from that. You can't tell somebody buy a chameleon. No, you cannot. You cannot. You cannot. Do you get what I'm saying? Seek first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Everything. My brethren, I told you, I think this is the most important message I've ever preached to anybody. Because it's the end to all struggles. You know, I was listening to one of the things we preached that day. I said, Joseph didn't have the privilege of praying for your wife because prisoners don't pray for wives. As soon as they came out of prison, Pharaoh said, "I don't like single boys." And the solution is, the finest chick around is this one, take. Simple. It was by commandment. And for your information, he couldn't pray any prayer against it. He couldn't refuse the Pharaoh. I mean, it was a good woman, for goodness sake, because he prospered in his job. If your wife is bad, you won't prosper in your job. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when a man seeks the kingdom, when a woman entrenches herself in the kingdom of God, every other thing shall. It's a matter of shall. It's compulsory. It must be added. Folks, you know, anytime I discover things like this, my life becomes easier. That is, even if walking in the kingdom means losing, physically speaking, in the temporal form, losing, when I say temporal, now physical things that you can feel go away from you, it is good. Every temporal loss, my pastor will say, makes for an eternal gain. Are you getting my point? Because he said it cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory. It's called temporary affliction. Oh, my brother, after I realized this, I realized that there's no need for struggle. Paul said, labor to enter into rest. If you are starting a business, before you start, say, "God, I will never cheat anybody. If anybody forgets money with me, I will keep it for him. I will, look, say it." They said, this is how they make money. In fact, let me tell you something, another thing about God. The Bible says he brings down one, lifts up another. That's the principle. He said, I hereby anoint you to break down, to pull down, to uproot, to overthrow them, to build and to plant. It's a principle. The day you, with your kingdom heart, enter into that business, every other person is in trouble. You know what? Remember what, what's his name? Hanani said here. He said, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support." I like King James here. King James said that he might show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what God wants is a demonstration that your heart belongs completely to him. If you enter market where everybody is cheating and making money, and you refuse to, God said, "I will close them that you might prosper." Listen, anywhere you are walking righteously and people are prospering with iniquity, wake up every morning and say, Father, I thank you for this business that I'm in. Let your kingdom come upon it. Do you get my point? Hey, Mike, before you know it, Strabag will close. I'm telling you, Julius Berger will run. They won't know what is pursuing them. God said, I will send hornets after your enemies. That is, before you arrive, bees, wasps will drive them away. Don't, no, the problem God has, I've told you, is people, his people, his own people. That is his problem. He said they are filled with influences from the east. They are so saying like the Philistines, and they have made bargains with foreigners. Because how can I help? I can't help. But let me end my message. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks and praise. Because of the beauty of your word, we thank you. Because of the word that has